Chapter 6. The Westwood. In the moonlight, Rand could not really see what he was doing, but Tam's wound seemed to be only a shallow gash along the ribs, no longer than the palm of his hand. He shook his head in disbelief. He had seen his father take more of an injury than that, and not even stop work except to wash it off. Hastily he searched Tam from head to foot for something bad enough to account for the fever, but the one cut was all he could find. Small as it was, that lone cut was still grave enough. The flesh around it burned to the touch. It was even hotter than the rest of Tam's body, and the rest of him was hot enough to make Rand's jaws clench. A scalding fever like that could kill or leave a man a husk of what he had once been. He soaked a cloth with water from the skin and laid it across Tam's forehead. He tried to be gentle about washing and bandaging the gash on his father's ribs, but soft groans still interrupted Tam's low muttering. Stark branches loomed around them, threatening as they shifted in the wind. Surely the Trollocs would go on their way when they failed to find Tam and him, when they came back to the farmhouse and found it still empty. He tried to make himself believe it, but the wanton destruction at the house, the senselessness of it, left little room for belief of that sort. Believing they would give up short of killing everyone and everything they could find was dangerous, a foolish chance he could not afford to take.
Trollocs. Light above, Trollocs. Creatures out of the Gleeman's Tale coming out of the night to bash in the door. And a fade. Light shine on me, a fade.
Abruptly, he realized he was holding the untied ends of the bandage in motionless hands.
Frozen like a rabbit that's seen a hawk's shadow, he thought scornfully.
With an angry shake of his head, he finished tying the bandage around Tam's chest. Knowing what he had to do, even getting on with it, did not stop him being afraid. When the Trollocs came back, they would surely begin searching the forest around the farm for some trace of the people who had escaped them. The body of the one he had killed would tell them those people were not far off. Who knew what a fade would do, or could do? On top of that, his father's comment about Trollocs' hearing was as loud in his mind as if Tam had just said it. He found himself resisting the urge to put a hand over Tam's mouth to still his groans and murmurs.
Some track by scent. What can I do about that?
Nothing.
He could not waste time worrying over problems he could do nothing about.
You have to keep quiet, he whispered in his father's ear. The Trollocs will be back.
Tam spoke in hushed, hoarse tones.
You're still lovely, Kari. Still lovely as a girl.
Rand grimaced. His mother had been dead 15 years. If Tam believed she was still alive, then the fever was even worse than Rand had thought. How could he be kept from speaking, now that silence might mean life?
Mother wants you to be quiet, Rand whispered.
He paused to clear his throat of a sudden tightness. She had had gentle hands. He remembered that much.
Kari wants you to be quiet. Here, drink.
Tam gulped thirstily from the water skin, but after a few swallows, he turned his head aside and began murmuring softly again, too low for Rand to understand. He hoped it was too low to be heard by hunting Trollocs, too. Hastily, he got on with what was needed. Three of the blankets he wove around and between the shafts cut from the cart, contriving a makeshift litter. He would only be able to carry one end, letting the other drag on the ground, but it would have to do. From the last blanket, he cut a long strip with his belt knife, then tied one end of the strip to each of the shafts. As gently as he could, he lifted Tam onto the litter, wincing with every moan. His father had always seemed indestructible. Nothing could harm him, nothing could stop him, or even slow him down. For him to be in this condition almost robbed Rand of what courage he had managed to gather. But he had to keep on. That was all that kept him moving. He had to. When Tam finally lay on the litter, Rand hesitated, then took the sword belt from his father's waist. When he fastened it around himself, it felt odd there. It made him feel odd. Belt and sheath and sword together only weighed a few pounds, but when he sheathed the blade, it seemed to drag at him like a great weight. Angrily, he berated himself. This was no time or place for foolish fancies. It was only a big knife. How many times had he daydreamed about wearing a sword and having adventures? If he could kill one Trolloc with it, he could surely fight off any others as well. Only he knew all too well that what had happened in the farmhouse had been the purest luck. And his daydream adventures had never included his teeth chattering, or running for his life through the night, or his father at the point of death. Hastily he tucked the last blanket around Tam and laid the water skin and the rest of the cloths beside his father on the litter. With a deep breath, he knelt between the shafts and lifted the strip of blanket over his head. It settled across his shoulders and under his arms. When he gripped the shafts and straightened, most of the weight was on his shoulders. It did not seem like very much. Trying to keep a smooth pace, he set out for Emmons Field, the litter scraping along behind him. He had already decided to make his way to the quarry road and follow that to the village. The danger would almost certainly be greater along the road, but Tam would receive no help at all if he got them lost, trying to find his way through the woods in the dark. In the darkness, he was almost out onto the quarry road before he knew it. When he realized where he was, his throat tightened like a fist. Hurriedly, he turned the litter around and dragged it back into the trees away, then stopped to catch his breath and let his heart stop pounding. Still panting, he turned east toward Emmons Field. Traveling through the trees was more difficult than taking Tam down the road, and the night surely did not help. But going out onto the road itself would be madness. The idea was to reach the village without meeting any Trollocs, without even seeing any if he had his wish. He had to assume the Trollocs were still hunting them, and sooner or later they would realize that two had set off for the village. That was the most likely place to go, and the quarry road the most likely route. In truth, he found himself closer to the road than he liked. The night and the shadows under the trees seemed awfully bare cover in which to hide from the eyes of anyone traveling along it. Moonlight filtering through bare branches gave only enough illumination to fool his eyes into thinking they saw what was underfoot. Roots threatened to trip him at every step. Old brambles snagged his legs, and sudden dips or rises in the ground had him half falling as his foot met nothing but air where he expected firm earth, or stumbling when his toe struck dirt while still moving forward. Tam's mutterings broke into a sharp groan whenever one of the shafts bumped too quickly over a root or rock. Uncertainty made him peer into the darkness until his eyes burned, listened as he had never listened before. Every scrape of branch against branch, every rustle of pine needles, brought him to a halt, ears straining, hardly daring to breathe for fear he might not hear some warning sound, for fear he might hear that sound. Only when he was sure it was just the wind would he go on. Slowly, weariness crept into his arms and legs, driven home by a night wind that mocked his cloak and coat. The weight of the litter, so little at the start, now tried to pull him to the ground. His stumbles were no longer all from tripping. The almost constant struggle not to fall took as much out of him as did the actual work of pulling the litter. He had been up before dawn to begin his chores, and even with the trip to Emmons Field, he had done almost a full day's work. On any normal night, he would be resting before the fireplace, reading one of Tam's small collection of books before going to bed. The sharp chill soaked into his bones, and his stomach reminded him that he had had nothing to eat since Mr. Salvier's honey cakes. He muttered to himself, angry at not taking some food at the farm. A few minutes more could not have made any difference. A few minutes to find some bread and cheese. The Trollocs would not have come back in just a few minutes more. Or just the bread. Of course, Mr. Salvier would insist on putting a hot meal in front of him once they reached the inn. A steaming plate of her thick lamb stew, probably. And some of that bread she had been baking. And lots of hot tea.
"They came over the dragon wall like a flood," Tam said suddenly, in a strong, angry voice, "and washed the land with blood."
"How many died for Lemon's sin?"
Rand almost fell from surprise. Wearily, he lowered the litter to the ground and untangled himself. The strip of blanket left a burning groove in his shoulders. Struggling to work the knots out, he knelt beside Tam. Fumbling for the water bag, he peered through the trees, trying vainly in the dim moonlight to see up and down the road, not 20 paces away. Nothing moved there but shadows. Nothing but shadows.
"There isn't any flood of Trollocs, Father. Not now, anyway. We'll be safe in Emmons Field soon. Drink a little water."
Tam brushed aside the water bag with an arm that seemed to have regained all of its strength. He seized Rand's collar, pulling him close enough to feel the heat of his father's fever in his own cheek.
"They called them savages," Tam said urgently. "The fools said they could be swept aside like rubbish. How many battles lost, how many cities burned, before they faced the truth, before the nations stood together against them?"
He loosed his hold on Rand, and sadness filled his voice.
"The field at Morath, carpeted with the dead, and no sound but the cries of ravens and the buzzing of flies. The topless towers of Cairene, burning in the night like torches. All the way to the shining walls they burned and slew before they were turned back. All the way to—"
Rand clamped a hand over his father's mouth. The sound came again, a rhythmic thudding, directionless in the trees, fading, then growing stronger again as the wind shifted. Frowning, he turned his head slowly, trying to decide from where it came. A flicker of motion caught the corner of his eye, and in an instant he was crouched over Tam. He was startled to feel the hilt of the sword clutched tight in his hand, but most of him concentrated on the quarry road, as if the road were the only real thing in the entire world. Wavering shadows to the east slowly resolved themselves into a horse and rider, followed up the road by tall, bulky shapes trotting to keep up with the animal. The pale light of the moon glittered from spearheads and axe blades. Rand never even considered that they might be villagers coming to help. He knew what they were. He could feel it, like grit scraping his bones, even before they drew close enough for moonlight to reveal the hooded cloak swathing the horseman, a cloak that hung undisturbed by the wind. All of the shapes appeared black in the night, and the horse's hooves made the same sounds that any others would, but Rand knew this horse from any other. Behind the dark rider came nightmare forms with horns and muzzles and beaks. Trollocs in a double file, all in steps, boots and hooves striking the ground at the same instant as if obeying a single mind. Rand counted 20 as they ran past. He wondered what kind of man would dare turn his back on so many trollocs. Or on one, for that matter. The trotting column disappeared westward, thumping footfalls fading into the darkness. But Rand remained where he was, not moving a muscle except to breathe. Something told him to be certain, absolutely certain, they were gone before he moved. At long last, he drew a deep breath and began to straighten. This time the horse made no sound at all. In eerie silence, the dark rider returned, his shadowy mount stopping every few steps as it walked slowly back down the road. The wind gusted higher, moaning through the trees. The horseman's cloak lay still as death. Whenever the horse halted, that hooded head swung from side to side as the rider peered into the forest, searching. Exactly opposite Rand, the horse stopped again, the shattered opening of the hood turning toward where he crouched above his father. Rand's hand tightened convulsively on the sword hilt. He felt the gaze, just as he had that morning, and shivered again from the hatred, even if he could not see it. That shrouded man hated everyone and everything. Everything that lived. Despite the cold wind, sweat beaded on Rand's face. Then the horse was moving on, a few soundless steps and stop, until all Rand could see was a barely distinguishable blur in the night far down the road. It could have been anything, but he had not taken his eyes off it for a second. If he lost it, he was afraid the next time he saw the black-cloaked rider might be when that silent horse was on top of him. Abruptly, the shadow was rushing back, passing him in a silent gallop. The rider looked only ahead of him as he sped westward into the night, toward the mountains of mist, toward the farm. Rand sagged, gulping air and scrubbing cold sweat off his face with his sleeve. He did not care anymore about why the Trollocs had come. If he never found out why, that would be fine, just as long as it was all ended. With a shake, he gathered himself, hastily checking his father. Tam was still murmuring, but so softly, Rand could not make out the words. He tried to give him a drink, but the water spilled over his father's chin. Tam coughed and choked on the trickle that made it into his mouth, then began muttering again, as if there had not been any interruption. Rand splashed a little more water on the cloth on Tam's forehead, pushed the water bag back on the litter, and scrambled between the shafts again. He started out as if he had had a good night's sleep, but the new strength did not last long. Fear masked his tiredness in the beginning, but though the fear remained, the mask melted away quickly. Soon he was back to stumbling forward, trying to ignore hunger and aching muscles. He concentrated on putting one foot in front of the other without tripping. In his mind, he pictured Emmons Field, shutters thrown back and the houses lit for winter night, people shouting greetings as they passed back and forth on their visits, fiddles filling the streets with James Folly and Heron on the Wing. Harald Luhan would have one too many brandies and start singing The Wind in the Barley in a voice like a bullfrog. He always did, until his wife managed to shush him, and Senbui would decide to prove he could still dance as well as ever, and Matt would have something planned that would not quite happen the way he intended, and everybody would know he was responsible, even if no one could prove it. He could almost smile thinking about how it would be. After a time, Tam spoke up again.
Avendasora, it said it makes no seed, but they brought a cutting to Kyrian, a sapling, a royal gift of wonder for the king.
Though he sounded angry, he was barely loud enough for Rand to understand. Anyone who could hear him would be able to hear the litter scraping across the ground, too. Rand kept on, only half listening.
They never make peace. Never. But they brought a sapling as a sign of peace. 500 years it grew. 500 years of peace with those who make no peace with strangers. Why did he cut it down? Why? Blood was the price for Avendor Aldera. Blood the price for Laman's pride.
He faded off into muttering once more. Tiredly, Rand wondered what fever dream Tam could be having now. Avendisora? The Tree of Life was supposed to have all sorts of miraculous qualities, but none of the stories mentioned any sapling, or any they. There was only the one, and that belonged to the Green Man. Only that morning he might have felt foolish at musing over the Green Man and the Tree of Life. They were only stories. Are they? Trollocs were just stories this morning. Maybe all the stories were as real as the news the peddlers and merchants brought. All the gleeman's tales and all the stories told at night in front of the fireplace. Next he might actually meet the Green Man, or an Ogier giant, or a wild, black-veiled Aiel man. Tam was talking again, he realized, sometimes only murmuring, sometimes loud enough to understand. From time to time he stopped to pant for breath, then went on as if he thought he had been speaking the whole time.
Battles are always hot, even in the snow. Sweat heat, blood heat. Only death is cool. Slope of the mountain. Only place didn't stink of death. Had to get away from smell of it, sight of it. Heard a baby cry. The women fight alongside the men, sometimes. But why they had let her come, I don't... Gave birth there alone, before she died of her wounds. Covered the child with her cloak, but the wind blown the cloak away. Child blue with the cold. Should have been dead too, crying there. Crying in the snow. I couldn't just leave a child. No children of our own. Always knew you wanted children. I knew you'd take it to your heart, Kari. Yes, lass. Rand is a good name. A good name.
Suddenly, Rand's legs lost the little strength they had. Stumbling, he fell to his knees. Tam moaned with the jolt, and the strip of blanket cut into Rand's shoulders, but he was not aware of either. If a Trolloc had leaped up in front of him right then, he would have just stared at it. He looked over his shoulder at Tam, who had sunk back into wordless murmurs. Fever dreams, he thought dully. Fevers always brought bad dreams, and this was a night for nightmares, even without a fever.
You are my father,
he said aloud, stretching back a hand to touch Tam, and I am... The fever was worse, much worse. Grimly, he struggled to his feet. Tam murmured something, but Rand refused to listen to any more. Throwing his weight against the improvised harness, he tried to put all of his mind into taking one leaden step after another, into reaching the safety of Emmons Field. But he could not stop the echo in the back of his mind. He's my father. It was just a fever dream. He's my father. It was just a fever dream.
Light. Who am I?